This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we talk with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR news contributor Cassie McDuff. We review a few of the big news stories from around the Inland Empire over the past week. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Ken.
The state of California and Senator Dianne Feinstein are fighting a desert water project that recently got a green light from the Trump administration. We've talked about the Cadiz pipeline before.
This has been a very controversial project for at least 10 years. The plan is for Cadiz Incorporated, which is based in Los Angeles, to pipe water out of an underground aquifer in the Mojave Desert and serve it to water companies in Orange County primarily. The concern is that depleting the underground aquifer would have a bad effect on the environment and the habitat out in the desert. There are natural springs out there, believe it or not. There are animals that use those springs. The company has brought the project through the environmental review process through San Bernardino County. But now, however, as you mentioned, Senator Feinstein has voiced concerns about contamination. The water in the aquifer is believed to have chromium-6. That's the chemical that was made famous by the Aaron Brockovich movie, and also arsenic. And the pipeline would feed the water from the aquifer into the Colorado River aqueduct. And Feinstein says it could contaminate all of that water supply, which serves millions of people in Southern California. The company, Cadiz, says that they don't believe that's the case. They say the water is tested according to state and federal drinking water standards, and they think it will remain safe. The latest twist, as you mentioned, is the Trump administration reversed the Obama administration block of the project and has given it a green light. But the State Lands Commission now has weighed in and said, hold on a minute, we own 1 mile of the right-of-way for that pipeline, and you're going to have to go through our environmental process and a leasing process. So the company says they don't believe that's going to stop them, so we'll see what happens next on this long, long-running controversy.
Are they going to go through the process, or are they going to hire lawyers and sue?
Well, it sounds like the company doesn't believe that the state has those land rights and that they believe they don't need to go through that process. So they seem to be confident that they have already got the approvals they need and that they can start going.
Okay, so it could be the state that sues, I guess. We'll see what happens with this as the weeks and months go on. Next, Riverside County supervisors voted to impose a labor contract on their sheriff's deputies, a rare and a rather big move, actually, for a governing body to do that to its law enforcement union.
Right. You know, Ken, this is all part of the budget struggles that Riverside County has been going through, trying to reduce costs. They've been negotiating with the Sheriff's Deputies Union, whose contract, by the way, ended quite some time ago. They've been negotiating for 16 months. The supervisors finally said, we're not getting anywhere. We need to have a contract and go forward from there. The sticking point, as you can imagine, is what kind of raises and what kind of working conditions will be imposed. The latest offer, the one that has been imposed by this move by the supervisors, includes no cost of living increase or pay or salary adjustments other than a one-step increase on each deputy's work anniversary. It also changed the union members' work schedules, and you can imagine that's not popular with them. And the time that they're paid when they have to go to court on their days off would be reduced from 4 hours to 1 hour of minimum pay. So the deputies' union has not said what they plan to do.
What can they do? Can they file an action, or is this legal for the county to do? What would be the next step if the Sheriff's Association, the Deputies Association, wanted to fight this?
Well, it is legal. In fact, the Press Enterprise talked to the Public Employment Relations Board. They said what happens once the last best and final offer is imposed is that bargaining, in other words, they have to come back to the negotiating table. It has to take place within 1 year. And by the way, the unions are allowed to strike. When terms are imposed like this, peace officers are barred from striking, but that doesn't apply to non-peace officers who are also represented by this union.
You know, Riverside County has got the problem. It's not just the Sheriff's Association problem that they've got. They've got money problems with pension liabilities. They're paying consultants to tell them how to save money. I wonder if the supervisors know that this is a bigger problem than one union contract.
Well, I think they do, because there was a two-day strike last month by SEIU, the Service Employees mm-hmm. International Union. Their contract also ran out, and they've been negotiating. I think the big sticking point for all of these unions is that the county spent $40 million on a consulting firm, KPMG, to review the county's budget and operations and try to find where the county can save money. So a lot of the union members feel, you know, if the county had $40 million to spend, why didn't they spend it on raises?
Yeah. Finally, State Assemblyman Jose Medina's bill to close a loophole in environmental laws was vetoed by Governor Brown. I think we've talked about this bill before, haven't we?
We did. This bill was inspired by what happened in Moreno Valley with the World Logistics Center.
Right.
Very controversial, again, development, 40 million square feet of a logistics complex that would bring $14,000 additional semi-truck trips to Moreno Valley every day once it's built. The city council approved the project, but in order to get around having to go through environmental reviews, and believe me, with all the truck trips and additional car trips, that's a main concern, is air pollution and traffic. The company proposing the project, Highland Fairview, bankrolled three ballot measures that would have asked voters to directly approve the project, and that would have made the environmental review unnecessary, according to the courts. Now, the city council went ahead and approved those ballot measures without putting them on the ballot. So essentially, without a vote of the people, the city council found a way to get around having to require the environmental reviews. And that's obviously a real big concern. The governor's veto message, he's usually pretty good about explaining why he vetoes bills. And what he said was he thinks the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA, needs to be reformed. And he would like to see, rather than a piecemeal approach, he would like to see a comprehensive approach to reforming CEQA. And so he said he hoped to work with the author, who, by the way, the veto message kind of praised Assemblyman Medina. The governor said, "I hope to work with the author who has shown a steadfast commitment to protect vulnerable communities from being disproportionately burdened by environmental harms." And Medina said he's willing to include his bill in a larger effort to reform CEQA.
Cassie McDuff, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Cassie McDuff is a longtime Inland Empire journalist and a regular Friday morning contributor to 91.9 KVCR. You can hear Cassie's segments at our website, kvcrnews.org. This segment is made possible by the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers.